president of World Vision, Richard Stern, has written a book entitled The Hole in Our Gospel. In this book, he tells of his own journey to understand what Christ is calling us to do as his disciples. One story he tells is of being at a conference where his wife urged him to sponsor two more needy children on top of the dozen they were already supporting. Then 2 years later, while filming a television special in Zambia, he had the opportunity to meet these two boys, Morgan and Jackson. Here's the story he tells of that meeting with them. I found myself walking across a field in Zambia to meet Morgan and Jackson, who lived with their grandmother, Mary. When she saw me, Mary ran toward me and greeted me, grabbed my hand, and bowed almost to the ground, thanking me profusely for what I had done. She said,
"When I learned 2 years ago that a family in America had decided to sponsor Morgan and Jackson, I knew that God had replaced the parents these boys had lost. If I had wings, I would have flown to the airport to greet them."
I was stunned and embarrassed. Mary was not eager to thank me because I was the president of World Vision. She wanted to thank me, the American sponsor who had rescued her grandsons. She saw me as a new father for two boys who had lost their own father to AIDS. I then sat and talked with her and the boys, and I learned just how dire their situation had been. Both of their parents had died within the same year. There were four siblings, Jackson being the oldest. They had literally nursed their parents on their deathbeds, watching their painful and horrible deaths as they wasted away, consumed by sores that covered their entire bodies. Jackson, 13 at the time, knew that he would have to care for his three younger siblings. So he quit school and tried to find work and food. Mary, several hundred miles away, had not yet heard of the deaths of her son and daughter-in-law. But Jackson was not able to support all four of his siblings, and they all left school and began to scavenge and beg for food. Jackson said,
"There were days where we lay all day on the floor of our hut because we were too weak from hunger. We sometimes went a week with no food, and I feared that Morgan would not survive."
Finally, their grandmother learned of the death and managed to take a bus across the country to rescue her grandchildren. Taking them back with her, but a poor widow herself, Mary could not manage to feed and support four young children. Soon they all began to sink deeper into hunger and despair. They hit rock bottom when a storm wrecked the little mud hut they lived in, adding homelessness to the desperate conditions. Here Mary picked up the story.
"That was when I learned the joyous news that an American family had decided to sponsor Morgan and Jackson, and I thank God that he had raised someone up to help us."
I felt so ashamed. That night 2 years earlier, at the banquet, I had filled out a card and dutifully written down my credit card number only, because my wife had made me. I had not thought about the lives involved, that my decision might have been a matter of life or death. It had only been a transaction to me, costing me just $2 a day. But to Mary and those boys, it was an answer to a prayer that literally may have saved their lives. God had broken my heart again with something that had also broken the heart of God. If you don't think a small gesture of compassion can make a difference, think again.
From a World Vision representative in Florida, Raul Hernandez responded to a call from an elderly woman in Miami who asked him if he could come to her apartment to discuss a gift. When he returned, he emailed the rest of the staff at World Vision about his meeting. Here is his account. The apartment complex was situated in a poor Latino neighborhood of Miami. As I knocked at the door, I noticed the humble surroundings. She opened the door. Anna is a wonderful 91-year young Colombian lady.
"Come on in. You are the person World Vision sent to receive my gift."
She invited me to her humble one-bedroom apartment. No air conditioning, but the room was filled with excitement and the refreshing presence of the Holy Spirit. Her smile reminded me of the sweetness of my own grandmother, who was instrumental in my salvation. We started a long and vivid conversation that I wished wouldn't end. I was told about her coming to the U.S. in 1954 with her husband, her struggle to raise up her three children, her long working hours to meet the basic family needs, her striving to keep the values she was taught in her native Colombia, and to keep the unity of the family. Then she told me about her terrible times of sickness, almost totally paralyzed, immobilized, strangled by pain, limited by the mercy of others to move her around, until she met Catherine Kuhlman, and through her she met the Lord and His healing power that sustains her until today. I have to confess that I was ashamed that I need more medication than she needs. After many marvelous stories, she stood up and said, let me bring. Let me bring to my gift to the children that World Vision is serving.
I don't have that piece.
I think that's my fault. I didn't highlight it, did I? Anyway, the story continues.
Okay.
She went to her little night table and brought an envelope to the table where we were seated. She opened the envelope with care as if it was a ceremony of mercy and love. She passed to me five clipped lumps of $20 bills.
Count them, please, she said. I want to be sure I counted correctly.
I counted them, and it was $1,000. She then said,
I've been saving this for a long time with the intention to give it to World Vision for the poor children in the world. Every time someone gave me a gift for my birthday or for Christmas or New Year, I saved it for the poor children. You see, I have this apartment. It's the only possession I have. But then I'm so blessed by the Lord that I want to be blessed. Those who were less fortunate than me. I used to sponsor a girl from Guatemala since she was a little baby. But then she graduated and World Vision transferred my sponsorship to another girl in Colombia, whom I still sponsor. But I was thinking, I will soon start my travel to my celestial home, to my God. I need to do something soon on behalf of those suffering children. That is why I called the World Vision to send me someone to receive this gift. I want to keep this anonymous. God knows. My prayer is that as Jesus took two fish and five loaves of bread and multiplied them to feed the thousands, that I will do the same with this, my gift. It's not much, but it is everything I have.
I was crying inside. Such generosity is only possible by the work of the Holy Spirit. I felt I was blessed beyond my imagination. The humid heat of Miami in this small apartment without air conditioning was totally forgotten under the refreshing breeze I felt coming from above as I enjoyed this vision with a World Vision donor. She is not a major donor. She is a heavenly donor. World Vision has received multi-million dollar gifts, but I am almost certain that Anna's gift caused equal rejoicing in heaven because Anna gave what she could. Most of us greatly underestimate the potential value of our time, treasure, and talents in terms of what they can add to the beautiful mosaic of what God is doing in our world. Many of us sit on the sidelines because we don't appreciate what we have to offer. Others know what they have to offer, but they don't know how. We may not be clear on just how God wants to use us, but that's no excuse for doing nothing. Just jump in and start doing. Austin Gutwein shot free throws and built a school for orphans. The widow Anna saved her quarters and dollars for years and offered them to God to help children. And Bill Gates started a foundation to improve global health and education. What will you do?
A child's prayer of thanksgiving. God in heaven, there is so much to thank you for, but there are some things that make the world such a very special place to live in. For parks, playgrounds, beaches, zoos, the rivers, the mountains, the woods, and the creeks. We thank you, God. For rocks near the creek, after the rains that make bridges to get across, we thank you, God. For tadpoles in the pond and for the summer frogs, we thank you, God. For squirrels jumping through the trees with those long bushy tails, we thank you, God. For the smell of wet pine trees, for acorns when they still have their caps on, and for pine cones to make things with, we thank you, God. For the happy faces of my dog and my cat when I come home from school, we thank you, God. For friends and family to share gifts with, for pals to tell secrets to, we thank you, God. For our church, our teachers, our ministers, and all the people who work for the church, we thank you, God. And thank you, God, for being you and for loving me. Amen.
As we think during this service about problems in our world, we cast a utopian vision of a world without poverty, injustice, and suffering. A happily ever after. But that would trivialize the height and depth of problems facing our world. We want to be realistic, but we also want to be excited about what the possible is. As you contemplate just how you might become involved, how you might make a difference in the world, it would be easy to make one of two mistakes. You could become so overwhelmed with the magnitude of the challenges in our world that you turn away, hopeless, convinced that nothing you could do will ever make a difference. Or you could dive in with naive enthusiasm, underestimating the problems, only to burn out from discouragement after the first few setbacks. But if you truly want to follow Christ, and carry the good news in tangible ways throughout our world, neither of these approaches will be useful. The pessimist sees only obstacles. The optimist sees only opportunities. But the realist sees the possibilities between the two. And that's who we must be. We must be people of the possible. Robert Kennedy once said, "There are those who look at things the way they are and ask why. I dream of things that never were and ask, why not?" Isn't it all a matter of perspective? What do you see when you look at the pain and suffering in the world? Do you see a malnourished child or a future farmer? A child without schooling or a potential teacher? Do you see a frightened child huddling in a refugee camp? Or do you see a prospective leader? When you look into the faces of the poor, the marginalized, and the downtrodden, do you see the hopelessness or people made in the very image of God with the prospects of a hope-filled future ahead of them? We as Christians can look at our broken world, shrug our shoulders, and say, that's just the way things are. Or we can instead embrace a vision of what could be. If we each pitched in, isn't it better to light a candle than to curse the darkness? And what could be accomplished if we light not one candle, but many? The light of even one challenges the gloom, but the light of a million could obliterate it. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain," that Jesus is making in order to make a point about the power of faith. We can literally move mountains? Can we? But what if we look at it a different way? What if Jesus meant for millions of his followers to each put their faith into action by grabbing a shovel and challenging the mountain one shovel full at a time? Any mountain can be moved, even the one called poverty or hunger or injustice, if we just have enough people shoveling.
Jesus actually compared the coming of the kingdom of God on earth to the tiny mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven, he said, is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. Like the petite mustard seed, this kingdom may seem small and powerless, but once it is planted and takes root, it grows exponentially in the power, size, and influence. If a single mustard seed can multiply so dramatically, try to imagine the power of a mountain of mustard seeds, the impact of God's people, called by God and working collectively through faith to spread the gospel. This gospel that we have been given, the whole gospel, is God's vision for a new way of living. It begins the reality of God dwelling within us, his followers no longer in a temple in Jerusalem, and it calls for us to join him in saving the world that he loves so much. The power of this gospel was announced by Jesus in a synagogue in Nazareth, when he made an audacious claim and an outrageous promise that the good news would be preached to the poor and that justice would be restored. The poor would be helped by the rich, the powerful would protect the powerless, the hated would be loved, the brokenhearted would be comforted, the oppressed would be liberated, the downtrodden would be lifted up. God's kingdom was going to begin on earth through the changed lives of his followers, and its hallmarks would be forgiveness, love, compassion, justice, and mercy. There would be no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. All would be equal in God's eyes. This was the essence of the good news of the gospel, the whole gospel.
Jesus was to be the firstborn of this new kingdom. He would teach his first followers the new kingdom values and give them a vision of a different kind of world. And that's what he did. This new community of Jesus' followers began to grow and flourish as they, in turn, spread the good news of this new kingdom to others and demonstrated it through their lives. Jesus called this new community the church. Then he went across to defeat death and evil in the spiritual realm and to throw open the gates of heaven. Humanity and God would now be reconciled. And then Jesus rose again, showing himself to those who loved him and giving them a charge to set the gospel in motion while he was away. Then he ascended right before their eyes to heaven so he could prepare a place for all who would be saved through the lives and work of those who call him Lord. Jesus had changed everything. This was God's plan to change the world. He chose his followers to be the change. He chose you and he chose me. We are the ones who will bring the good news to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted, and stand up for justice in the fallen world. We are the revolution. We are God's plan A, and God doesn't have a plan B.
One of the ways to make a difference here at St. Andrews is through the ministry of our food cupboard, feeding and clothing over 150 people each week. Listen to the messages of thanks they send to you.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Take care, and God love you and keep you safe.
I couldn't do anything without your support. It has been such a blessing, and I continue to come here even though I'm not very well. God bless you all richly. He shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory.
Many sincere thanks for such a great opportunity to share your heart, soul, and resources in this way. Would like to see your organization expand in the community.
Dear Maureen and all the wonderful people of St. Andrew's Church, over the past 2 years you have all been so kind and always there for me. There were times I felt so down and even considered ending it all. However, you have all restored my faith in God. As I get stronger in the next few weeks, I hope to be able to pay it forward. I came home from the hospital today being able to walk slowly, but I have my mobility back. Thank you for everything once again. Hope to see you all soon. God bless.
Hello. As an addict for over 25 years, I recently went to treatment after 8 years of being homeless. I now have my own apartment and depend greatly on the food bank. I am truly grateful. Thank you. Thank you for all your wonderful support over the years. My two boys and I have been coming to St. Andrew's Church for many years, and the people are very kind and caring about all the people that come to the food bank. So many people would go hungry without the love, for without your love and support, we would be at a loss.
You have helped me so much when I couldn't help myself. Very much appreciated, and thank you. Thank you. Your help is really appreciated. Thank you for your support.
I would like to thank you for the donations. It means a great deal to me and my son. You were the wind beneath my wings. You were my shelter from the storm. Thank you. Thank you very much for this. It's greatly appreciated.
God bless and thank for such a great job that you do.
Thank you for your support through the years. I am very grateful. Bless God bless. I just want to thank you for everything. I really appreciate the goodness the church has given. Thank you for the extra help. Since losing my job, it has been hard for me to provide food to feed my sons and myself. I am just trying to better my life and go back to college. So thank you and God bless.
May the Lord keep blessing you with more blessings on your journey. Thank you for all your help. It really is a blessing. Without this food bank, I would be a lot thinner. I do not take it for granted one bit. Keep up the good work.
God bless you all. I'd like to thank the congregation for their generous donations and time spent helping the needy and homeless. Thank you for your generosity.
I thank you for everything. Your food cupboard has certainly helped me.
Patience was always given, and then help was given. There was a time when it was needed, and I took from the food bank. And with God's help, the bank will be paid back. My time is now worth something. I can see now.
One last thing. If you would like to see these comments, they are posted on the bulletin board underneath the clock. Thank you.
God sees you and bless your soul, mind, body, and spirit for everything. I really appreciate always and say thank you, God, and praise the Lord forever. And God loves you and be with you and never leave you and love you with your heart. Believe God. Thank you for the food cupboard that cares for people in need.
Let us worship God with the presentation of our offerings.